Hey, in case we haven't met yet, I'm Lee, and I'm the lead pastor here at Mercy Vineyard Church. And let's go ahead and put our vision statement up there. Let's say it together. We are living a passionate mission to love, grow, and go for the greater glory of God. That's what we are all about. So I'm excited about going on Community on a Mission Day. And that's what the church is about. It's about loving, man. You know, isn't love just not the most powerful force? You know, and we read about this picture of Jesus in the gospel of being so incredibly loving. And so we aspire to love like Jesus. And so we're growing in him. We're going, we're serving others and serving each other. And so I get excited about being a part of this church and you being a part of this church too. So this morning, what we're doing, we're continuing our three-part series called All the Wrong Questions. And so what we're doing is we are exploring the impact of the questions we ask ourselves in our life. Because we all ask ourselves questions, whether we realize it or not. We ask ourselves questions constantly, and those questions have impact, have a very strong impact on us. They have an impact on how we handle our circumstances, right? They have an impact on how we make decisions. They have an impact on how we handle our relationships. And our questions, most of all, have an impact on whether we grow or whether we stagnate in our lives. And so it's very important that we get this concept down, that the questions we ask ourselves are profound and impactful. And so last week, we talked about the question, what should I do? Y'all remember that? What should I do? What should I do with my life? What should I do in this circumstance? What should I do? And how that the question, what should I do, can actually paralyze us instead of moving us forward. Because we ask that question, what should I do, because what do we want to do? We want to move forward, right? But a lot of times when we get stuck on what should I do, it paralyzes us. We just, I don't know what I should do. What do you think I should do? Right? And we go ask other people, what do you think I should do? And nobody gives us an honest answer, because most people are like, well, you know, they're thinking one thing. Dump the bum, get a haircut, lose weight, whatever, you know. Like, they're thinking that. But our friends go, I don't know, I think you're doing everything just fine. You're doing everything you should do. I don't know why your world is falling apart. Can't be you. It's got to be everybody else's fault, right? Because when we ask our friends, what should I do, most of them don't give us an honest response, or they give us a gut response or a dumb response. And so I rarely have I ever gone to somebody and said, what should I do? And they've given me this like revelation answer. And I've gone, yeah, thank you. Nailed it. Life changed, right? Because for some reason, we think that if we know what are we supposed to do, that like the sky will open up, right? The birds will start singing. Everything will be grand. And that's really not what happens. But instead, the question that we should ask ourselves isn't what should I do? The question we should ask ourselves is, who should I be? Who is it that God wants me to be? Because if we become who God wants us to be, what's going to happen? We'll just do what God wants us to do. That's going to flow naturally out of who we are, right? You can do what God wants you to do and not be the person God wants you to be, but you can't be the person God wants you to be and not do what he wants you to do. And it's important that we understand that. And so because what God wants me to be, or who God wants me to be, it leads us to deeper fulfillment than simply doing. And who God wants me to be, it brings us into alignment with what's important to God, right? Because if we learn what's important to God, it becomes important to us when we become who he wants us to be. And so it's so important that we understand that. If you missed the podcast, go back and listen to it. If you missed the sermon, go back and listen to the podcast. It's on the website right now. Right? Now you can listen to it during this message, and then when this message is over, just listen to today's message. Right? Okay. So the wrong question that I want to talk about today is, what's wrong with? What's wrong with? Right? What's wrong with? And if you've been here for any amount of time, you've heard me talk about this before. This is not a new question. This is something I've talked about before. But the wrong question is, what's wrong with? And you've probably heard me talk about that before. In my experience, I'd say that I've seen the question, what's wrong with, cause more damage than probably any other question that we're talking about during this series. What's wrong with is probably one of the most harmful questions. This is the question that I ask myself when I want to engage in something that I shouldn't. Right? That's when I want to do something that I shouldn't do, I ask myself the question, well, what's wrong with? Where does it say in the Bible I shouldn't do that? Right? And so this what's wrong with question can be just really harmful. You know, what's wrong with a little harmless flirting? What's wrong with a little, you know, it's not having an affair, right? What's wrong with a little harmless flirting? Hey, what's wrong with watching that movie? What's wrong with watching that? What's wrong with it? You know, what's wrong with blowing money at the casino? What's wrong with that? Yeah, I just stepped on someone's toes. I'm just kidding. What's wrong with blowing money there, right? Well, I mean, the fact that you're $10,000 in credit card debt, you still owe on your car, and you're struggling to pay your cell phone bill, there might be something wrong with blowing a little money at the casino. You know, or what's wrong with a little recreational fill in the blank? What's wrong with a little recreational fill? What's wrong with that, right? What's wrong with ripping DVDs for my friends? What's wrong with that? Right? Don't we do that? We ask ourselves this all the time. What's wrong with? And usually we ask ourselves that when we're trying to justify our actions. And then the kind of the sister question that comes with what's wrong with is usually, where does it say in the Bible? Right? Where does it say in the Bible? Right? Where does it say in the Bible, thou shalt not download bootleg software? You know? like that was even in existence when the, you know, anyway. Or where does it say in the Bible, thou shalt not cheat on your taxes? Right? After all, they're taking all my money. They owe me a little back. Where does it say in the Bible, thou shalt not? Right? And whenever we ask ourselves questions like this, it's not because we honestly want to know the answer. Right? I mean, we don't go, where does it say in the Bible, I shouldn't do this thing? Or what's wrong with it? We're not asking that question because we really want to know. Let's just be honest here. Right? We ask that question because we want to justify our actions. And it's not because I really want to know. You know, it's really because I don't want someone telling me what to do. I don't want someone telling me that what I'm doing is wrong. And we can really get in the weeds with these questions. And maybe you've been there too. Or maybe, you know, or maybe you're lying. But, you know, unfortunately, we live in a world where not every moral decision we make is cut and dry. That's just the world that we live in. It's not always cut and dry. There, you know, the Bible does not have like an appendix that has all the things that we, you know, all the temptations that we endure today. You know, there's not, let's take this appendix. And so it's not always cut and dry. And there's not always a chapter and verse in the Bible that addresses what's wrong with. Okay, and let's just be honest. We tend to think that if there's not a chapter and verse, then you know it's hey, it's anybody's guess, right? There's no chapter and verse, so you know. So what do we do? You know, what is the question that we should be asking ourselves when it comes to these types of decisions? How do we discern right from wrong? And it's just in this world where it's not always black and white. How do we do that? What is the question we should be asking ourselves? So we're going to talk about that, but first let's pray real quick. God, we love you. And first and foremost, in the decisions that we make, God, when it comes to our character, when it comes to the things that we do, Lord, more than anything, God, we want to honor you. We want to honor you. And so, God, I pray that you would make your word come alive in us today, that you would help us, Lord, to act on wisdom and allow your word to influence our lives. Allow your word to take root in us, God. Allow your word to transform us in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so our main scripture this morning is like one verse. It's really short. And it's Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 2. And it says, a wise person chooses the right road. A fool takes the wrong one. So I want to say it together. Let's say this verse together. A wise person chooses the right road, a fool takes the wrong one. Yeah. If you remember one thing this morning, I want you to remember this. The wrong question is, what's wrong with? The right question is it wise in the Lord's eyes? Is it wise in the Lord's eyes? And again, if you've been here for a while, this is not something new. This is something we've talked about before. Is it wrong? It's not is what's wrong with, it's is it wise in the Lord's eyes? And let's just be honest. A lot of the decisions we make, if we actually just stop ourselves and ask, is it wise? That, you know, we would probably make wiser decisions. We'd make decisions that are healthier. We'd make decisions that are better for our relationships. We'd make decisions that are better for our finances. We would make decisions that are just better. So when we're asking, is it right or wrong, we're just asking the wrong question. Now, if you have ever raised children, you know what I'm talking about. What's wrong with having candy for breakfast? Your kids ever ask you strange questions like that? What's wrong with staying up all night, okay, on a school night? What's wrong with sleeping in? What's wrong with playing video games for 10 hours? What's wrong? What's wrong with that, right? What's wrong with, you know, all of our kids have asked questions like that, right? And, but adults can be just like children when they want something that may not be very wise to do. Because we get kind of proud, right? When we want something, don't we just want it? And we will be as creative as possible in making a reason and justifying those actions. And so instead of looking for a thou shalt not, we should be asking ourselves, is it wise in the Lord's eyes? Is it wise in the Lord's eyes? Man, that question can lead you into some amazing directions. Is it wise in the Lord's eyes? That question can lead you into healthy relationships. That question can lead you, I mean, just think about, if we just asked ourselves all the time, is it wise in the Lord's eyes? Probably everyone here would be out of debt. Probably everyone here would be a little healthier. Probably everyone here would be a much better example to their children. You know? I mean, is it wise in the Lord's eyes? And so, instead of asking, where does it say in the Bible, thou shalt not gamble, or whatever, we should be asking, is it wise to gamble? All of a sudden, that takes on new meaning, doesn't it? Because all of us here would stand here and go, is it wise to gamble? And we'd go, well, no, because you're gambling, you know? You are potentially forfeiting quite a bit of money. There's really nothing wise about gambling. But if we sit and go, well, what's wrong with it? Where does it say in the Bible? Well, you know, draw your own conclusions, okay? So, you know, instead of asking, well, what's wrong with living with my girlfriend? What's wrong with living with my girlfriend? I just felt like the air pressure in the room go. But, well, the fact that statistically your relationship isn't going to last because you lived together before you got married says that it's really not wise, okay? So, or somebody might say, well, you know, what's wrong with this? What's wrong with getting drunk? What's wrong with whatever? You know, I mean, just name it. We should be asking, is it wise? And is it wise in the Lord's eyes? Is it wise in the Lord's eyes? Because we don't want to choose our wisdom, we want to choose God's wisdom. So instead of asking, what's wrong with, we should be asking, is it wise in the Lord's eyes? Okay, everybody take a deep breath. Y'all feeling good about that? Y'all ready for round two? Okay, here we go. Round two, fight! I want you to remember this. The second thing is this. It takes humility to be guided by wisdom. It takes humility. Because what is it that wants to justify and not give up the things that we really know deep inside are not wise? Right? It's our pride. It's our pride that wants to hold on to these things. But it takes true humility to be guided by wisdom. All right? So Proverbs 22:4 says, true humility and the fear of the Lord lead to riches, honor, and long life. So when we're humble and we ask ourselves and we're guided by the wisdom of the Lord, it's not because God is going, you should not be having fun. You know what? I don't want you to do any of the things that you want to do. It's not because God, it's because God maybe has something better, right? Has something better. In fact, it says it leads to riches, honor, and long life. long life. Some people just refuse to follow wisdom. They do, especially if that wisdom comes from somebody you don't really like. You know, I know that some of you grew up in churches that had really cantankerous leaders, that had leaders that weren't so nice, that were just kind of like, you know, prickly and unhappy and holier than thou and self-righteous. Okay? And I get that because I knew people like that. There were people like that in my church growing up. And it wasn't until I was much older that I realized that, yeah, they were self-righteous and cantankerous and grumpy, and I didn't really like them. But they had some wise things to say. That they said some things that I probably would have been better off listening to if I were younger. And so sometimes people that we don't like, sometimes people with lousy personalities, even sometimes people who have been just bad leaders, right? Still might have some wise things to say. Sometimes they're parents. If you don't like your parents, you know, and some people just kind of don't like their parents. Or, you know, like we see, here's the thing about parents. We see all of our parents' flaws, right? So we grow up and we see our parents doing all the stupid things. We see our parents smiling at church and yelling at us when we get home, right? We see our parents, praying fervently at a prayer meeting and then going home and, being abusive with their spouse, right? We see that. But that doesn't mean that every wise thing that they ever said we should just throw in the trash because they were jerks, okay? Sometimes wisdom comes from people we just don't like. And that doesn't mean that we toss that out, the baby with the bathwater, okay? And so sometimes people just refuse to follow wisdom. I have the right to do this, right? I have the right to do that. I have the right to spend my paycheck how I want. I have the right to just watch what I want. I have the right to consume what I want. I have the right. I have the right. I have the right. I have the right. And, if you show me the person like that who's filled with pride and entitlement, and I'm going to show you somebody who's very unwise. Very unwise. Because here's the thing. We tend to exalt our rights or exercising our rights over many other virtues that are actually more virtuous than exercising our rights. Amen. Okay? Wisdom is a virtue that's greater than exercising your rights. Okay? If you think about Jesus literally had the right to call down angels from heaven and wipe all those people out before they scourged him and led him to the cross, right? He had a right to do that, but he laid down his rights, you know? And so we have to understand that exercising our rights is not the highest virtue, that there are virtues that are higher than exercising our rights, like wisdom, like humility, like servanthood, like generosity, right? Those are virtues that are higher. And so, and I know that that's hard to like understand because we live in Merca, right? We live in Merca. We got rights. I got rights. Bang, bang, you know? And it's just like, I watched a, never mind. I'm not going to go into the weeds. And so that's a difficult thing for us to understand, the idea of laying down our rights for wisdom. And but here's the thing that we have to understand is we can cling on to our rights all the way to the grave. We can hold on to our rights all the way to the poorhouse. We can hold on to our rights all the way to leading our kids down a really bad path. We can hold on to our rights to X, Y, and Z all the way to a really dumb, stupid place. But, hey, at least you held on to your rights. At least you exercise your rights, right? And so that's when usually people find themselves in a really bad place, dark place, and go, maybe exercising my rights wasn't the smartest thing to do, wasn't the wisest thing to do. It's about what's wise in the Lord's eyes, not what's wise in your eyes, okay? Because when we get into our rights, what are we doing? We're holding on to what we think is wise in our own eyes. It's about what's wise in the Lord's eyes. And so when we stop and we ask ourselves and we look at the life of Jesus and we look at the fruits of the Spirit of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Yes, right? We look at that and we go, well, those, you know, wisdom leads us to those things. And the Spirit leads us to those things. And so it's about what's wise in the Lord's eyes, not our eyes. And that's why it's so important to know the Lord and to know His Word. To know the Lord and to know His Word. If you know the Lord and you know His Word, right, you'll be led by wisdom, guided by wisdom. It's about what's wise in the Lord's eyes. Okay? And the other thing is, it's about living in the fear of the Lord. It's about living in the fear of the Lord. Living in the fear of the Lord means that we have honor for God, we have respect for God, we have an awe for God. Living in the fear of the Lord is not living in such a way that if I don't do what the Lord does, He's going to whoop me. That's not living in the fear of the Lord, because that's a wrong idea of the personality of God, of the love of God, of the grace of God. Living in the fear of the Lord is honoring God, respecting God, is having awe for God. And so when we respect and we honor God, what do? We trust His wisdom. We understand that His wisdom is what's best for us, is what's best for us. We have to give up the idea that we know what's best for us. Okay? And we have to understand that God knows what's best for us. He does. He really does. And if we know Him and we know His Word, we'll know what His best is for us. Okay? And so Proverbs 9:10 says, "Fear of the Lord is the foundation of wisdom. Knowledge of the Holy One results in good judgment." Right? Good judgment. Remember, it's not about what's right and wrong, but what's wise in the Lord's eyes. And so this morning, what we're going to do is we're going to wrap up. We got a short morning. Everybody's all right with that, right? Okay? But I want to make a challenge to you. Maybe you've been making some wise decisions or some unwise decisions, or maybe you've just been making decisions that if you were really to be honest with yourself, they're not wise in the Lord's eyes. You know, when we evaluate our life, we do a little reflection, we look at our habits, we look at how we spend our days, we look at how we spend our time and our finances and things like that, and if we look at those things and we're honest with ourselves, they aren't exactly wise in the Lord's eyes. And, you know, maybe you've been doing some things that you've been defending or refusing to listen to wise advice about. And let me just say something really quick as we wrap up. If you're defending your actions, there's a good chance it's not a wise action. Just let that sit in for a second. Okay? If you're defending your actions, it's probably not a wise action. If you're defending them, that you're probably clinging to your rights instead of clinging to wisdom. I'm just going to stop talking for a second and let the Holy Spirit speak to you about that. If you're defending your actions, okay, you're probably clinging to your rights and not wisdom. Holy Spirit, speak to us about that. Speak to us about that. Proverbs 4, 10 through 13 says, "My child, listen to me and do as I say, and you will have a long, good life. You will have a long, good life. I will teach you wisdom's ways and lead you in straight paths. When you walk, you won't be held back, and when you run, you won't stumble. Take hold of my instructions. Don't let them go. Guard them, for they are the key to life." Yeah. So what is it that God offers us when we stop asking what's wrong with and we start asking, is it wise in the Lord's eyes? What is it that God's offering us? Life. His instructions, they're the key to life. God doesn't want to lead you so that you can walk in frustration and unfulfillment. He wants to give you life and life abundantly, and that comes when we ask ourselves, is this wise in the Lord's eyes? Okay? And so I want to challenge you to make the decision today that you're going to do what's wise in the Lord's eyes. That you're going to be humble and you're going to honor God with your decisions, because wisdom is the key to life. And so this morning, actually, before I pray, one of our prayer team members said this really cool word, and they had a picture of somebody that was taking things from their life, right, that maybe that were unwise, and they were filling, like, a trash bag with it. So they just fill in this trash bag. They're like, you know what? I'm going to do what's wise in the Lord's eyes. I'm going to take these things out of my life. I'm going to put them in this trash bag, and I'm going to take out the trash. And then they're taking out the trash, and they got this bag, and they threw it in the trash barrel, and then they go, I take this out. I'll keep this one, right? I've actually done that in a literal sense before. But I believe that we do that in a spiritual sense a lot as well. I'm going to take out the trash, but you know what? This thing here. And they just keep taking out the trash, but then keep taking things out of the trash until eventually they just have a pile of trash. And I want to encourage you, if you feel like that word speaks to you today, to get prayer. And, you know, allow God minister to you. And so our prayer team is going to come. We're going to have prayer people in the front. We're going to have prayer people in the back. And they just want to pray with you about anything. But if that speaks to you, especially, I'd like you to talk to one of them. So if Wendy and the worship team want to come back, I'm going to pray. Why don't you guys...